Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our study of the Sefer Shmuel. We are in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, and we should learn this year, L'Refuas, Toi B'Yehudis Bas Hamagasya, and Zeb Eliezer Ben Chaya Shengel, and Emunah Netzricha Yehudis Bas Temeh, and Miriam Rivka Bas Adina Leah, and Shlomo Yaakov Dan Ben Yaakova B'Soch Sha'ar, Chole Yisrael. Sweetest friends, we already have learned quite in detail about the story of Chana. And Chana she's in the Mishkan Shiloh, and she's davening for a baby. Vatan Chana, and Eli thinks she's drunk. He vayachshaveh Eli l'shikora. He thought that she was a shikora. He thought that she was drunk. And there's a very nice idea about that. Vayachshveh shikora, because Chazal tell us that he saw in the Urim and Tumim the letters Shin Kaf Resh Hey, which is shikora, but it also could be read Kisara. He thought she was shikora, but she was really like Sarah. She was just davening for a child. And the pasuk continues and says, Pasuk Tesvav, Vatan Chana Batomer Lo Adoni Yishak Shasruach Anochi. I'm a woman of an embittered spirit. V'ayin V'sheich Alosh Asisi. I haven't drank wine. V'eshbochus Nafshi Lifnei Hashem. And now I am pouring out my soul in front of God. So she uses the lashon of davening. V'eshbochus Nafshi Lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara here very beautifully is defining for us what tefillah is. Tefillah is you're spilling your soul. You're spilling your guts. And it says in Rashi in Brachos and Daf Hei Amud Beis, Umahi Nefesh Zot Tefila. Nefesh is Tefila, as it says, Ve'eshbochas Nafshi, I'm spilling my Tefila, Lifnei Hashem. So when you're spilling your Tefila, you're really spilling your soul. And that's how davening has to be. As the Chobos HaLevavos says in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, V'roi Lecha Achi Sheteida, you should know my brother, Ki Kavanasenu B'Tefila Eino Kim Klos HaNefesh El Elokim. It's just that the soul is just dying for God, yearning for God, and it's subjugating itself to God. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is shvichas hanefesh. You have to spill out your guts in front of God. Pasuk continues. Pasuk tazayin. Al titein es amas chalifnei bas bilial. Don't assume that I am a ovedas avodah zarah, as Chazal tell us. Is a person who davens drunk is an ovedes avodah zarah. Kemerov sichi v'chasi dibarti ad heina. Because of all of the tzar that I have and all of the pain that I have, I am speaking until now. That's why I'm davening so much, because I'm in such pain. Vayan Eli vayomer l'chi l'shalom. And Eli answered her and he said to her, go in peace, or go to peace. V'elokei Yisrael yitein es sheilasech asher sha'alt me'imo. And the God of Israel will give you the request that you requested from him. So, first of all, let us be omed on this nekuda of where why Eli says, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel will give you what you asked of him. What is that? Why the God of Israel? Why just not Hashem? So the Kli Yakar says that it's as God of Israel, because what does Hashem have to worry about? Hashem has to worry about all of Klal Yisrael. That's why he's the God of Israel. So when he gives you a child, it'll be in the context of not him being the God of the world. It's in the context of him being the God specifically of Israel, because your son is going to be a leader of Israel. That's what the Kli Yakar says. He is going to be your son, the future son, we know is Shmuel, is going to be the leader of the Jewish people. So that's why it says Elokei Yisrael. And what's also interesting is that in the next pasuk we see that upaneh lo hayu la'od, that she was no longer sad. She knew that her tefillah, that she knew that this bracha that Eli gave her is going to be accepted, that God will answer her tefillahs. What made Chana so sure that the bracha would be fulfilled? So in the Sefer Taima Dekra he explains that since Al Pidin Eli was mechuyev to bless her, as we learned in the Maseches Brachos, and we mentioned in a previous shiur, that when you falsely suspect somebody, when you cast aspersions upon somebody, you must give them a bracha. So since this bracha was Al Pidin, so she knew that this bracha, which is such a halachic bracha, it was an halacha obligates him to make the bracha, so that gives the bracha extra koach. So originally she didn't come to get a bracha from him. She came to daven. But now that he falsely accused her of being drunk and he had to bless her, alpi halacha, so she knew that this was going to be answered. That's why she was so sure the tefillah was going to be answered. That's what the time of the cross says. In the Sefer Beis Yankov, by the way, if I'm quoting a lot of Sfarim, I recently purchased for myself the Mishpitzos Zahav, which is probably the best Sefer ever written in the history of the world on Nevi'im Rishonim. So I definitely highly recommend it for all of my sweetest friends. And he just quotes, I don't know how he finds everything, but he does. And therefore he is certainly going to enrich us. So we add him to the other Sfarim on which we have been basing our Shir upon us. I've mentioned the Rinas Yitzchak and the Be'er Moshe, and we've been doing some Einaya recently because of these Gemaras, because of these Pesukim that talk about the Gemara and Brachos. So, B'siyata Dishmaya, our arsenal is expanding. So in the Sefer Beis Yankov from Rabbi Yaakov Mi'ishbitze and Parshas Miketz, he says, do you know why Chana was so sure that the Bracha was going to be fulfilled? Because she understood that it doesn't happen for nothing. It didn't happen for nothing that Eli thought she was drunk. It was obviously from Hashem. Hashem wanted that he should falsely suspect her of doing something wrong and then end up giving her a bracha. So she saw this, the complete mahalach here, she saw as part of God's actions, as part of, as Ashgacha Pratis. So she knew that if he falsely suspected me, then I will, my tefillah will definitely be, my tefillah will be answered, and this bracha will definitely be mekuyam, and I will have a child. So that is a very beautiful idea, to see Hashem in what happens to us, and to know this is part of the mahalach ha'eloki. And then it says, "Vayachshevel lishikora." Right? He thought she was drunk. She said, "No, I'm a woman of an embittered spirit." And Eli blessed her. So Rashi says, "Bisra." That Eli told her when he said, God will give you what you asked for, according to Rashi, he's informing her that her tefillah has been accepted. So what's strange about this is, first, a minute ago, he thought she was drunk. And now pitom, he's telling her that her tefillah has been accepted. So what made him make this drastic change? A second ago, she's a drunkard. And now pitom, her tefillah is going to be accepted. How did he know that? Unless he also, we can say like the Kliyakar, we can say like the Ishbitzer, that the Beis Yaakov, that he saw that this being part of the of Godly, because now that he gave her this bracha, so he knew that this bracha that her tefillah should be fulfilled will be fulfilled because this is all part of Hashem's master plan. In any event, let us continue and give another teretz to this kasha. How did he know that her tefillah was going to be accepted? So the Rav Mordechai Migur, the Imre Emes, used to say that a gadol hador feels the pain of each person, as it says in Brachos, that woe unto a generation that the leader doesn't feel the pain of the people. And Eli didn't feel her pain. And if Eli didn't feel her pain, he said, it must be she's drunk. But when she said, no, I'm a woman, I'm an isha kshas ruach, I'm a woman of a bitter spirit. So, if that's the case, Eli was wondering, so how come he doesn't feel her pain if she has an embittered spirit? So Eli assumed that she's already been saved. Zi is showing gehofen kevaron, that she was already saved, and therefore he doesn't feel her pain. And therefore he said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel will give you what you asked for, because the Yeshua has already come. It reminds me of a story, it's a Maisa Shahaya, that there was a man I know quite well, who didn't have children for many years, and a shliach was sent to the Lubavitcher Rebbe to ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe should daven for this person? So the Rebbe is given the names, and he looks at the kvittel, and he says, what's the problem? Everything is okay. Everything is fine. And the family, and the shliach said, no, they don't have children for many years. Can the Rebbe give him a bracha? No, everything is fine. What's the problem? He said, no, Rebbe, they don't have, it's not fine. No, it's fine. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, it's fine. So the shliach called up the person who sent him in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the childless man himself. It was someone else. And he said, tell me something. The Rebbe said that he's fine. He's taken care of. What does he mean? So the mishaleach called up this person, this childless man, and he said to him, tell me something. Is your wife pregnant? So the man said, well, we really weren't telling anybody, but yes. So then the person said, tell me something. Do you have any shaychus to Lubavitcher Rebbe? He says, no. No. Sie ist schon geholfen geworden. She's already, everything is all taken care of. There's nothing to worry about. So Lubavitcher Rebbe could see it and suggest the Imre Emes, Eli HaKohen could see it as well. Says Pasuk Yudches, Vatomer timsa shifchascha chein be'einecha vatelecha isha ledaka vatocha. So timsa, your maidservant should find favor in your eyes. This is an expression, says the Das Mikra, of humility and an expression of thanks to an important person, like Ruth said to Boaz, emsa chein be'einecha aduni ki nichamtani v'chidibarti alei shifchascha. Same idea. So that's what it means. Timsa shivchasra chein be'inecha. And vateilecha isha ledarka, she goes on her way. She goes back to her tent. Vatochal, and she eats. She eats what Elkanah had given her before she davened, as the Radak says, that her husband asked her to eat. So now, finally, she sat down to eat something. Vatochal, and she ate. And she was no longer sad because she believed that her tefillah was going to be accepted or was accepted. So she had absolutely nothing to worry about. That's why she was so, we explained in the previous pasuk how she was so sure of herself, because she knew that if he gave her the bracha, like the time of the cross says, that he was chayv al pidin, or like the Beis Yankiv says, that she saw this as all being hashkacha pratis, that he falsely accused her, and now he had to give her a bracha. So she knew that this is it. She's going to have children. Now it's interesting, in the Medrash Shmuel, it says, what does it mean, ledarka? That she has, she pierced anida, that she became, that's the derech, she had the way of women. Derech kolar, derech nashim li, right, that Rachel says to love him. That on the way of women, I had my period. So she had her period. Because the word ladarka is extra. What's ladarka? So the Das Mikra says to the place of her tent. And the Medrash says that it means derech nashim li, that I have I'm having my period. And not only that, since she had her period, now she has to leave. She taka has to leave. She has to go. Once she has her darka, she has to vateilech ladarka. Because a woman who's in need is not allowed to be on Har HaBayis. And therefore, if she's not allowed to be in Har HaBayis, she's certainly not allowed to be in the Azara. So she's got to get out of there. She's got to get out of the Mishkan. So she left. Upanelo hayu la'od. She was no longer sad because she was sure that the bracha was going to be fulfilled. And the fact is that a kiyum habracha is very dependent on the person receiving the bracha. The more you believe in it, the more likely it is to be fulfilled. And the Sefer Penine Rabbeinu Hagriz HaLevi, stories about the Brisker Rav, said that it says there that every year in Rosh Hashanah, when they read the Haftorah, so you can see on the face of the Brisker Rav, he was so impressed by the bitachon of Chan and the brach of Eli. It's as if she already saw in her eyes, wow, I already have a child. But the truth is, Be'enei Chazal, according to the way Chazal looked at it, it wasn't such a big chiddush that she already saw her child. Because she was too old to have a baby. She was a very, very old woman at this time, and all of a sudden she gets her period back. So she knew that she was on the way. Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yates. The truth is, sweetest friends, there's just one more thing we have to do before we get to Pasuk Yates, and we have to go back because we have to chap around one more Ein Ayah before we finish. It says, Ani Aisha Nitzeves Imcha Bazeh, I am the woman who's standing with you. That's what Chana tells Eli. And from here, Chazal learned that you're not allowed to daven within four amos of, you're not allowed to stand within four amos of somebody davening. You are not allowed to sit within four amos of somebody who's davening, because I am the woman who's standing with you. They are standing together, as Rashi explains. So you're not allowed to sit within dalet amos of somebody davening. So Rav Kook explains, why not? Why can't you sit? And that's the halacha. Why can't you sit with somebody within dalet amos of somebody davening? So explains Rav Kook that tefillah is based on regesh, and therefore when you see your friend getting all emotional, you should also get emotional. It should have an effect on you. So when it's the seichel, so you also have to be maskil. When somebody gets excited about something seicheldik, something intellectual, so you also have to activate your intellect to get excited. But regesh, that's much easier. You see somebody getting excited. Somebody goes in Yerushalayim to see Tzvi Meir Zilberberg. So he's all excited. So you get excited. That's what happens when you see somebody having regesh. You naturally have regesh too. And since the purpose of tefillah is to strengthen the good feeling, because when you have regesh is much more likely to bring you to maisa than seichel. When somebody's excited about something, he's much more likely to do something than when he intellectually understands that he is supposed to do. Therefore, when you get excited, your body should be in a position that it's ready to act. So now it's gevaldik. You know why you're not allowed to sit within dalet amos of somebody who's davening? You're not allowed to sit within dalet amos of somebody who's davening because he's getting all excited and emotional. You're supposed to get all excited and emotional, and therefore you have to be standing because you have to be ready to go, ready to move, ready to do something. That's what Cook's very beautiful explanation of the Gemara. So now we will return to Pasuk Yud Tes. Vayashkimu Vaboker Vayishtachavu Lifne Hashem Vayashuvu Vayavo El Beisam Haramasa Vayeda Elkana Eschana Ishto Vayizkirea Hashem. Vayashkimu, but they got up early in the morning, Elkanah and his household, because they would serve Hashem in the morning. And then they, as the Das Mikra points out, that when you're Ola Regel, you have to stay overnight. So they stayed overnight. And then the next morning they went in their happy way. So they went, Vayishkimu Baboker, and they went Elkanah's household, and they bowed down in front of Hashem, and then they went back home to Ramah, and then Elkanah, Chana wasn't there at this time, because as we read in the previous pasuk, Chana was Pirsa Nida. But Elkanah and his household, they went in the morning to the Beis HaMikdash, Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha, in the morning we serve Hashem, and they bowed down in front of Hashem, and then afterwards they came back home to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Chana, and then Vayizkira Hashem, God remembered her, meaning that she became pregnant. So it says Vayishtachavu, they bowed down. So the Netziv and the Harchev Dover and Parshas Chayisara says that Stan Hishtachavah in the pasuk, when it says Hishtachavah, it's talking about the tefillah, like it says in the Yerushalmi in Tainus. That is Shtachavah's tefillah. We also see in the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Amid Beis, Ein Omdim L'Spal El Mitoch Kovid Rosh, that you have to daven, when you stand up to daven, it has to be with a serious head. And the Gemara says, how do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Hishtachavu L'Hashem B'Hadras Kodesh, you should bow down to Hashem B'Hadras Kodesh, don't read B'Hadras El B'Cherdas, with fear, with awe. So you see that when the Pasuk wants to prove that you have to daven with Kovid Rosh, it brings the pasuk of Hishtachavu L'Hashem. So Hishtachavaya is tefillah. So that is, and we learned in an earlier shiur also, from the Yalkut, from the Medrash, that l'shtachavos v'lizboach, Chazal learned that tefillah is greater than korbanos. It says it first. So first l'shtachavos, which is tefillah, and then korbanos. So here also, that they went to bow down is tefillah. It could also be, we had a whole shiur on l'shtachavos, we discussed it a lot. It could also be here that it's hodah. Because we find that l'shtachavos is hodah. Like Chayisara, Perikov Dalit, Pasuk Nun Beis, Vayishtachavu Atzel Hashem. And Rashi says that from here you see, you thank someone for a good tiding. So since they heard from Eli that Chana's Tefillah was accepted and she's going to have children, so Elkanah and his family thanked Hashem. And the Malbim explains, based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, that when you Talmud leaves his Rebbe, and then he stays overnight. He has to go again the next day and leave him again, ask Rishus again for him and say, I'm going. Rebbe, give me a bracha. Is it okay if I go? So now that they stayed over, they have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash to take leave of Hashem again. And that's what the idea is, like the Gra says in his Haderes Eliyahu and Parshas Kisavo, that Hishtachava is like Yitzia, when you leave your Rebbe. So you bow down, you walk backwards, and you bow down, and that's how you're supposed to leave your Rebbe. People don't know that. People just turn their back on their Rebbe and they walk away. But the halacha is that, no, you're supposed to walk backwards. Rav Futner Zatzal was very makbid on that, that the Talmidim should have Kavod HaTorah. They should walk backwards. And you see that in the Beis HaMikdash. That's really passing an halacha on the Magen Avraham also. When you leave a shul, you're supposed to walk out backwards and bow down. So here also they were leaving Hashem, so they were walking, they were bowing down to Hashem as a way of taking leave of Hashem. So continues the pasuk. Now we're in pasuk chaf. Vayhi l'skufos hayamim. It's a very interesting expression. It says in the Torah l'skufos tekufas hashana. So what is this idea of tkufas? There's a lot of discussion about this, but the simple meaning is, as the Das Mikra says, hekef hazman, like after a period of time. So it was after a period of time, vatar chana vatelet vein. So she, as the Radak explains, she got pregnant right after they came back from Shiloh, and then the latkufas hayamim is the vatelet vein. She gave birth. And apparently this is at around Tkufas Hashana, which the Torah says right next to Sukkot. So apparently she gave birth at around the time of the Regel. Vatikra is Shmo Shmuel. And she named him Shmuel. And Shmuel is already an earlier name. We find it by Midbar, that the Nasi of Shimon was named Shmuel. And Kimei Hashem Shiltiv, because of the Maisa that happened. Because from Mei Hashem, from God, She'iltiv, I have asked him. So that's, you have God's name in there, and you have Shaul in there. And it could also be read, Shmuel could be read, Samokel. So God placed him. So that is why she named him Shmuel. Now, what's interesting is that the Medrash seems to say differently. The Medrash says that, you know why she named him Shmuel? Rashi brings it later on. Because every day there was a bas kol that the whole world kiviyachol could hear. And it said there's going to be a tzaddik and his name is Shmuel. So whenever a woman gave birth at that period of time, she named her son Shmuel. And then when they would see him, the way he acted, this child, they would say, no, that's not no Shmuel. And when they saw this child and they saw his deeds, they said, ah, this is the one. Yakeim Hashem Elokim Dvaro. This is Shmuel HaTzadik. So, it's mashma then. Like, you know why every woman would call her son Shmuel? Because of the bas kol. And that's why she named her son. Because of the bas kol. Not because Kimei Hashem Shiltiv. That from Hashem I took him, I borrowed him, I asked him. Not because of that, it's because of the bas kol. Not because I asked him from Hashem. So how can the Medrash contradict the Pasuk? The Medrash says it was all the women were doing it because of the bas kol that went out. And the Pasuk says it was because me Hashem shilteith. So we paskin, normally, ain't mashgichin the bas kol. You don't pay any attention to bas kol. Bas kol don't affect us. So Chana wasn't choshish because of the bas kol. And she didn't call him Shmuel because of the bas kol. Just me Hashem shilteith. However, it's not so pashut, because in the kuntres divrei sofim from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman zecha tzadik levarachan simen hey, he writes that we're not mashgichim bevas kol is only about sveika dedina. When you have a suffik in halacha, ain't mashgichim bevas kol. But if it's a suffik of fact, there you could be somech on a bas kol. So if you need proper edus, so it's not going to help us. But if you don't need, if eid echad is kasher, then to be mevarer and uvda, you can be somech on a bas kol. It's a famous question. He used to say when there was an argument about who an eved belonged to. So Chazal tell us that they would see who the man would fall next to. Whoever's tent. Two guys are arguing about an eved. If his man fell next to Reuven's tent, you know the eved belongs to Reuven. If it fell next to Shimon's, you know it belongs to Shimon. So, what is Loba Shemaimi? The answer is no, it's just Mevar the Metzias. So, to be anything that's Bir Metzias, there a Bas Kol helps. So, just this was the idea that there's a tzaddik and his name is Shmuel. Here you can be Samech on a Bas Kol. And you see that Elkanah was Samech on the Bas Kol. Elkanah says, like the Pasuk says, that Yokeim Hashem has Devaro, that God established his word. So, we see in the Pasuk coming up. So you see that he was Samech on the Bas Kol. This is the guy. This is Shmuel HaTzadik. Like the Medrash says. The Medrash says that Elkanah said that when he was born, Yakeim Hashem es Devaro. This is going to be the famous Shmuel HaTzadik. So Elkanah was Samech on the Bas Kol. So maybe Chana then was also Samech on the Bas Kol. So again, now we ask the question, why does the Pasuk says that she called him Shmuel? Because Meh Hashem Shil Tiv. But the Medrash says that everybody was naming their son Shmuel because of the Bas Kol. So if everybody was naming their son Shmuel because of the Bas Kol, why didn't Chana name her child Shmuel because of the Bas Kol? So the Medrash isn't contradicting the Pasuk. The Medrash is just saying that everybody used to call their child Shmuel because of the Bas Kol. That there's going to be a tzaddik named Shmuel. But the Pasuk says that Chana called him Shmuel because of a different reason. Because Meh Hashem Shil Tiv. But why didn't she call him Shmuel because of the Bas Kol? And to say that Ein Mashgichin B'Bas Kol doesn't work, because Ein Mashgichin B'Bas Kol is for Halacha. You want to know Halacha? Ein Mashgichin B'Bas Kol. You need to Eidim Ein Mashgichin B'Bas Kol. Instead of Eidim, the Bas Kol doesn't work. But here it's very strange, because here we see that this is just the Metzias. The Metzias is that there's going to be a great tzaddik named Shmuel. So give it a shot. Call your son Shmuel. And yet Chana seemed to have ignored the Bas Kol and said, Me Hashem Shilti. So we could possibly suggest an answer, al derech hamusar, that everybody was naming their son Shmuel. They wanted this son to be this tzaddik, this leader of Israel. But that's not what Chana was thinking. Chana wasn't thinking that, oh, one day this guy is going to be the leader of Israel. Chana had a much more important job right now. And that was, she had a job, she had a chiv of akaras hatov. And when you have a chiv of akaras hatov, nothing stands in the way of that. Like Chazal teaches us about Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu went to Korach, and he said to Yisro, that Hashem told him to go redeem the Jewish people. And first Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Yisro, and he asked Yisro for Rishus. He said, listen, I have to go back to Mitzrayim to redeem the Jewish people. Thank you very much. It was really great. And there's a Lashon in Chazal there, Haflei Befele. It says, Kol HaPosech Pesach L'Chaveru Nafsho Chayev Lo. If you open up your home to somebody, he owes you his life. He owes you his soul. And Yisro opened up his house to Moshe Rabbeinu. What about the fact that Hashem commanded him to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt? This is no time to do Akaras HaTov. The answer is Moshe understood that that's not what God wants. God doesn't want him to go directly to Egypt. That first and foremost, you have to express Akaras HaTov. And therefore, that's what Chana was thinking. May Hashem, this I got is a special gift from God. She wanted to express her Akaras HaTov, and she didn't name the child Shmuel because of the Bas Kol, but but rather because she wanted to express her thanks to Hashem. There's a very beautiful story about Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler once went to, he was in New York, I think, and he went to Cincinnati to see the great Gaon Rav Lazer Silver. Lazer Silver was not only a great Gaon in Torah, but he was involved also in a lot of chesed. So Rav Silver had helped Rav Dessler's son, who's still alive, he's a Rav in Cleveland, Rav Nachum Zev Dessler. So he had helped Rav Nachum Zev. So Rav Dessler took something like an 8-hour train trip to Cincinnati, Ohio, to go thank Rav Lazer Silver for the fact that he helped his son. So he gets to his house and he's eating breakfast. He goes, Shalom Aleichem, Rav Dessler, nice to see you. What can I do for you? He says, nothing. He says, I'm not asking here to ask for a favor. I want to thank you for helping my son. So Rav Silver waited a few minutes. He goes, okay, very nice, very nice. Rav Dessler, what can I do for you? So he understood that you don't just come to thank. First you thank and then you ask for what you want. This is just an opening. The thank you is just an opening. And he said, no, it's fine, it's fine. I just wanted to thank you for taking care of my son. Said, all right, Rav Dessler. What'd you come here for? He says, really, I just came. This is talking about 8-hour trip there and 8-hour trip back. I just wanted to thank you personally for helping my son. So Rav Silver just muttered under his breath, oh, those Musarniks. But that Tyre Yidden is a Musarnik. A Musarnik is somebody who takes an 8-hour train ride there and an 8-hour train ride back just to say the two most important words that we have to know in life, and that is, and those are, thank you. And sweetest friends, I will take this opportunity to thank you for learning some of Sefer Shmuel with me today and all the other times that you're with me. I always tell people that I have a tremendous Hakaras HaTov to people who listen to the Shiurim and allow me to share Torah with them. So if you ever need a favor or anything, you can always ask and you can say, but Erman, you owe me. You owe me, I listened to your Shiur. And then I can't say no unless I'm unable to. But the klal is that I can't say no. The Yotze is the klal is if I can't, I can't. But the klal is yes. So I'm saying this publicly to the tens of millions of people who are tuning in. And I would like to make that clear. And I wish everybody a very wonderful day, a very special day, a very sweet day. And, bracha natzalach until next time. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.